crucifixion was designed to be, and truly was, one of the most barbaric ways. It is sadistic in its ability to inflict pain. It is one of the most bloodthirsty, barbaric ways of putting a person to death. Because it's not a quick death. It is a very long, painful, agonizing death. John MacArthur quotes a couple of people. I want to just read this to you, if you'll bear with me. This is a man by the name of Frederick Farrar. I believe he's a theologian. He's describing crucifixion. This is what he says. Before I do this, how many people here have ever experienced back pain? How many people have chronic back pain or wrestle with a lot of back and joint pain? Have you ever been in a position where it hurts so bad and you endure it for a long time in a position where you are, and then you shift to another position and even that position is painful, but it at least gives you some relief from the first position until you can't endure that anymore, so you switch to another position, which is still painful. And the thing is, it's not that you're getting any true relief. No matter what you do, you are still in agony. But it at least gives you the illusion that by shifting your weight to another position, at least that particular agony has ended and you've got a little bit of strength to endure the new agony. Has anybody ever been in that where you shift and shift and shift and nothing you can do can give you relief? It is like endless torment. Let me tell you what crucifixion is like. Here's a man, Frederick Farrar. A death by crucifixion seems to include all that pain and death can have of their horrible and ghastliness, dizziness, cramps, thirst, starvation, sleeplessness, traumatic fever, shame, publicity of shame, long continuance of torment, horror of anticipation, mortification of intended wounds, all intensified just up to the point at which they can be endured at all, but all stopping short of the point which would give the sufferer the relief of unconsciousness. In other words, it's as much pain as a human body can actually experience prior to going out, but without giving the relief of unconsciousness or death. The unnatural position made every movement painful. The lacerated veins, the crushed tendons throbbed with incessant anguish. The wounds inflamed by exposure, if the victim took several days to die, which often they did, became gangrened. The arteries at the head and the stomach became swollen and oppressed with surcharged blood. And while each variety of misery went on, gradually increasing, there was added to them the intolerable pang of a burning and raging thirst. And all these physical complications caused an internal excitement and anxiety which made the prospect of death itself, of death, the unknown enemy at whose approach man usually shudders the most, it made death bear the aspect of a delicious and exquisite release. He goes on to say, in modern society, if they're going to execute somebody, they try to make it as painless as possible, as humane as possible. But back then, they had no such cares. They wanted to make it as anguished, as shameful, and as humiliating as they could possibly make it. Here's another one. Dr. Truman Davis, a medical doctor, says this. At this point, another phenomenon occurs. As the arms fatigue. Anybody here lift weights? You ever lift to the point where they call the point of failure? Where your arms are so tired they just can't go any further? You want that extra rep, but you can't get it because your arms have failed. As the arms fatigue, you're trying to hold yourself up on that cross and your arms are just not anything anymore. Great waves of cramps sweep over the muscles, knotting them in deep, relentless, throbbing pain. Imagine all of your muscles in your body suddenly spasming into hard knots as waves of pain roll over your body. With these cramps comes the inability to push himself upward. Hanging by his arms, the pectoral muscles are paralyzed. The intercostal muscles are unable to act, and air can be drawn into the lungs but cannot be exhaled. You can breathe in, you can't breathe out. Jesus fights to raise himself in order to get even one short breath. Finally, carbon dioxide builds up in the lungs and in the bloodstream, and the cramps partially subside. Spasmodically, he's able to push himself upward to exhale and bring in the life-giving oxygen. Hours of this limitless pain, cycles of twisting, joint-rending cramps, intermittent partial asphyxiation, searing pain as tissue is torn from his lacerated back as he moves up and down against the timber. And then another agony begins, a deep crushing pain in the chest as the pericardium slowly fills with serum and begins to compress the heart. It feels like your chest is about to explode because literally your heart is swelling with fluid and the pressure is pushing against that. Why did I go through that? We sing a song, a worship song here. And the bridge of the song says, the first words are escaping me. My gosh, I've sang this a million times. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sins upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sins upon that cross. Now, I'm an optimistic guy. I don't believe that any of you sitting here today will ever experience crucifixion. I pray to God that never happens. I can't guarantee. I'm fairly optimistic. You will never know what that torture was like. But if that was not bad enough, if that was just not brutal enough, as Christ hung there with our sins upon him, he experienced something else that you and I could never really completely understand. He experienced separation from the Father. He had had intimate, passionate love with the Father for all eternity, a fellowship of love and affection and friendship beyond description for eternity. And in that moment, as he hung on the cross and God poured out his wrath for our sins on Jesus, Christ experienced separation from the Father. Now, it doesn't mean the Trinity was separated, like, you know, from the fabric of the Trinity, but he experienced separation from fellowship with God. The life-giving, how it is when you love somebody deeply and fellowship with them just gives you life. You know, you sit there and you meet them and you give them a hug. You can just feel your spirit leaping inside of you as you sit and talk with them and eat with them. All of a sudden, man, you feel like you've got hope and you've got joy. That's what Jesus had experienced with God for all eternity. In that moment, he was separated from fellowship with God and experienced the wrath of God instead. Do you know if you die and go to hell, you will experience separation from God? Have you ever heard that? To go to hell is to be separated from God. But you will not be really separated from his presence. You'll only be separated forever from his fellowship. What you will experience then is not separation from the presence of God, but confrontation with the wrath of God. The thing that makes hell such a horrible place is not so much the flames or the darkness or whatever it might be. It is the fact that you see your sin in the light of God's eternal wrath against it, and there is no escape forever and ever and ever. And the torment of the ugliness and the selfishness of the things we have done will be ours to inherit for eternity. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sins upon that cross. Thank God that cross was there for John D'Souza. Thank God that my sins were there so that if all I do is put my faith and trust in Christ as my Lord and Savior, my sins are completely paid for. I will never have to face the wrath of God for my sin. Ever, ever, ever. And that's the message of the Bible to you, that if you will place your faith and trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will never have to face the wrath of God for your sins because Christ paid that price for you. That horrible thing that he experienced was all to pay the cost for my sin and for your sin if we will receive him as our Savior. What love is that? What amazing love is that? And then 3 days later, the most incredible thing happened. Another prophecy was fulfilled. What came 3 days after his death? Resurrection. God raised him back to life. Just like David said hundreds of years before that, David prophesied, "You will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." And that's what we are all about. Christ died and rose from the dead to conquer death. That is what God offers you today. I hope you enjoyed the worship here. I hope you enjoy the fellowship. We've even got some great food out there afterwards to enjoy. But if you take nothing else away today, please take away this, that God sent His Son as a sacrifice to die for your sins so that you could go free if you will simply receive Him by faith and give your heart to Christ. Praise God. Amen. If you're already saved, if you are not saved, I pray that you would come see me after the service because I want to pray with you. And I just want to make sure that you have the assurance that you will spend eternity in heaven with Christ. If you're already saved, this is what you can take away from this. In spite of all the deception in this world and every lie and every manipulation and all the things you've had to endure by evil men who twist the truth and lie and deceive, if you're wondering if there's anything you can stand on in this world, if there's any truth you can make a foundation for your life, I'll tell you today there is. And it's called the Bible. In fact, it's called the Holy Bible. God's Word stands. Let every man be a liar. Let God be true, but every man a liar is what Scripture says. Father, I thank you today. I can't imagine what it cost you for Christ to die for me. But God, I'm grateful for it and I receive it with open arms. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here today that has not received your gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, that they would receive it today, that they would not let this day go by. Thank you, Lord. We just pray your blessing on us, Father. We pray that this word would stick in our hearts, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Truly, if you've not received Christ and you would like to talk to me about doing that, it's very simple. It's only a prayer away. I would love to talk with anybody who would like to take that opportunity. Amen. We're dismissed.